Welcome back to another episode of the PAX, which she said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And this week we have an incredibly special guest. We were just talking pre-show about how we always go to the opener together. And since we weren't able to do that this year, we thought, you know what? We can at least all podcast together. It is the incomparable Dusty Evely. Dusty, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Like as we were talking a little beforehand, I am a little sad that we're not going to be there. Obviously, last year we were there for the Saints game, which took me about 2 weeks to recover my voice fully from that one. So I'm sad we won't be there again, but this is next best thing. It's so good to see you guys.
It's so good to see you too. And maybe a good thing that we didn't plan to go up together, because this is going to be an odd one. Classic Maggie will be there, yeah, because Maggie always goes to the weird Packer games. Ask her. She has been to some crazy ones, like including the Hundley Kaiser Bowl. The infamous Hundley Kaiser Bowl Maggie was in attendance for. So Maggie will be there for the Malik Willis showdown. But we're gonna get into it. But Dusty, it is, as always, so good to have you on.
Same. Always excited to talk ball with you all.
Yeah, so let's jump in, because obviously we teased the show by saying, or to you at least, that we wanted you to talk about Malik Willis. But there's a lot of fun to talk about when it comes to the quarterbacks, because I think that's what makes this so intriguing. Is obviously you hate being without Jordan Love, but Malik Willis is such a different quarterback prospect than the Packers have historically had under center. Mm-hmm. And even if you were playing Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt, it would not look anything like we're probably going to see out of Malik Willis. And I think that's not only fun, but interesting to see what Matt LaFleur does with a quarterback of, you know, his caliber.
Yeah, from a game planning perspective, I know it's very hard to do this, but I've always been of the mind your backup quarterback should be nothing like your starting quarterback, because that, it just gives you something else to plan for. And it's always been, you want your pure passer and then just your runner chaos. And again, from a game plan perspective, if a guy gets hurt midway through the first quarter, that's not great, because now you're like, well, this guy can run two plays. Like, I don't have a week to plan for this. So in practice, it's not great, but I love the idea of it. And we kind of get that here a little bit. Like Willis is, we say he's a project. He's like 7 months younger than Jordan Love. Like he kind of, you can fix some stuff. He kind of is who he is, but yeah, I'm excited. There's enough intriguing things where there could be some insane things in this game. I'm excited to see how he looks for sure.
I don't know if we've ever had, at least I can't think of anyone with this level of mobile ability. I know that like Brett Hundley could use his legs, but that wasn't necessarily his like
go-to. Scott Tolzien could move a little.
You know, yeah, but that wasn't his like go-to trait, right? Like when you think of Malik Willis as a prospect, he had the arm, right? He has the gun slinger type arm talent, but he ran the ball a lot, like designed run in college. And that's an interesting, to your point, Dusty, like little wrinkle that we have not seen.
Yeah, and I was going to look up his stats before this and I did not, but I think he's got, of his dropbacks, I think a third of them in the NFL, not that he's had a ton of reps, but about a third of his dropbacks in the NFL have been an off-designed run. So like that is, I remember his first game he had to play in Tennessee was just like, I think he threw three passes. And we're just going to run you. And like that's, and again, he does have the arm, like it's inconsistent, which is fun talking about the guy that the Packers are playing against this week as well. But that is typically, they've just, okay, you're a project, let's run you. And then it's just been, you can't really throw with any accuracy, so let's just run you. So I'm curious. I think the approach is going to be fun this weekend, but that is, even the NFL, it has been a very run heavy approach for him.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the things, and we'll talk about Anthony Richardson too, but you know, Anthony Richardson can make everything happen. And he's also, you know, kind of unreliable when it comes to certain throws that he makes. And I'm not saying that Malik Willis is Anthony Richardson, but same kind of play style, right? Where he can make things happen with his legs, has the arm to make every throw, but will he? Absolutely not. So that's, you know, where Matt LaFleur is going to have to get really creative when it comes to how do you use Jaden Reed? How do you use Christian Watson? How do you use some of your motion guys to make Malik a little bit more comfortable? Because I think if the Colts defense is going to, you know, challenge Malik to air it out all game, it could be a long Sunday for me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Richardson has the better arm, but I mean, just because Richardson has one of the best arms I may have ever seen, like consistency isn't there, but like that arm's insane. But Willis does have an arm, like that is good. But like you said, they are similar players. They'll run. He doesn't quite have like the size of Richardson, so those runs Richardson will really put his head down. Willis has the size, but he's not really going to try to like run people over all that much. But as far as in the passing game, yeah, they're kind of the same here. It's, they kind of know what they're doing, right? Like they know what they're looking for. They know where they're trying to go with the ball. They just can't always make it work. The ball's going to get there real, real fast, but you just don't know if the destination of where it's supposed to be.
Is it just me? I want your thoughts on this, Jesse. I find it hard to imagine Matt LaFleur game planning a game with a ton of designed runs. Maybe it's because I've never seen it. And maybe, like, you know, he's what I think one of the best play callers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He typically calls plays that he knows are, you know, to the strengths of his guys, right? That is something that mm-hmm. he knows how to do. So we could be surprised. But again, to that same point, it's like, look at all the pass catchers you have on this team and think about how much you can do with them if you just get them the ball in space. Like mm-hmm. Malik Willis doesn't have to do too much. You just have to get Christian Watson or Jaden Reed the ball, and they can also go make plays. So I'm curious, I think, more how much they balance out the design run plays versus actually trying to make Malik throw the ball to the guys that they do trust to go make plays.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's something I've been thinking about quite a bit, because there is, I think LaFleur does have in his bag like a, I'd say hefty, because there's only so much you can do with this. But like, we've seen zone read option stuff out of LaFleur, like not just the typical like read the end and then the quarterback pulls or he gives. You've had plays where like the wide receiver on the edge is also looking for the ball. So you've got this kind of triple option look where you can throw to the boundary if the quarterback keeps it and then he's cut off. Like LaFleur has that in his playbook. They've never thrown it. They've barely run it, but you know it's there. And so like you said, I'm with you. Like, I kind of wonder if LaFleur is looking at this in terms of like, all right, we're paring down the playbook. We're going to have a handful of designed runs. We're going to have kind of a lot of our boot stuff, like heavy play action. They went, I think, 40 some odd percent play action in week one anyway, even with Love. Probably dial that up even more with Willis, I would imagine. And then try to keep things relatively close to the line. Like, I could see an approach where he does that. Can also see approach where he's like, listen, I've had option stuff for 4 years I've never been able to use. Like, let's just go nuts. Like, I can see both approaches. It does seem like a very heavy Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, jet sweep game. A lot of kind of inside running game, I think. Maybe get creative with Jaden Reed in the backfield, which we've seen, you know, a handful of times as well. Like, a more condensed passing attack, mainly off of play action. Try to work the middle as you can. And then three or four deep shots. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if out the gate is like play action, max protect, deep shot to Jaden Reed, just to be like, listen, you can't stack the box against us. Like, we are going to run. We know that, but we're not going to let you like just think that off the bat. So I could see a deep mm-hmm. shot off the bat, whether that works or not, who knows, but just to kind of create a little bit of space up front. But I am very curious what the approach is going to be, because you could see two pretty distinct directions with this, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the Colts, their front is kind of banged up already going into week two. DeForest Buckner is on the injury report. Kwity Paye is on the injury report. And that's two big names. And we saw what the Packers interior looked like last week against, you know, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. They struggled at times. Obviously, mm-hmm. Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom are just brick walls. But beyond them, you know, it was kind of tough sledding at times. So depending on whether those guys can go, that might make things a little bit more challenging too. And we saw Josh Jacobs kind of come into his own in the second half. The blocking got better. The field conditions, they swapped out their cleats, seemed to get better as well. But I think that he's going to be in for a very heavy workload against another very good front with some really talented defenders.
Well, he's on the injury report, isn't he, with the back? I didn't see how mm-hmm. serious that was, but Josh Jacobs showed up today, which means what, Lynch was practicing today? Maybe Wilson goes real heavy. Marshawn Lloyd. Sorry, I keep saying Lynch. I keep thinking Marshawn Lynch.
If only.
I wish.
But it does seem like if all those guys are healthy, like bring all three backs in there and like we're going to run each and every one of you into the ground.
But even to your point then, Dusty, if Josh Jacobs isn't 100%, then they are going to have to get really creative with that backfield, because then you're down to Emmanuel Wilson. And look, I thought he looked great in week one, but let's be honest, like, the Colts are probably not going to respect him nearly as much as if Josh Jacobs was back there. So you are going to have to put like a Jaden Reed or I don't know.
I mean, they were running a lot. Well, they had Tucker Kraft in the backfield quite a bit this past game too. So like, if they're just like, we're going 12 personnel, we're pulling our guards, we're putting Tucker Kraft in the backfield. We don't think your front is good enough. We're just going to ram it at you for four straight quarters. Like, that's also an approach.
Elevate Henry Pearson and just
let's go.
Pull back city. I mean, I like it. Like, I also think there's a world where the Colts are like, we're expecting you to run a lot. Because you don't have Love. So like, to your point, Dusty, earlier, they're going to stack the box. But if they don't have the personnel to do it with some injuries, then it doesn't really matter. Then it gives the Packers options.
Well, and also, I mean, they're going up against Gus Bradley, who over the past decade plus is like one of the more predictable defensive play callers in the league. Like, he may stack a little more than normal. He plays cover three at a higher rate than anyone every single year. Like, it doesn't matter who they're playing. Dude's playing cover three. Maybe they tighten up a little bit. Maybe they bring the safety down a little bit, but he's going to play what he's going to play. He is not the most game plan specific coach. He just runs the same thing and says, hey guys, run this. So, I mean, we might not see a whole lot of stack boxes at the beginning. Like, that might also be a possibility.
Great. Run the ball and drain the clock and cool. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Done. Game one. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll get into score predictions and all that at the end, because I'm curious, you know, if you guys think this could end up like a shootout, if you think that it's just going to be like a defensive slog, if it's going to be gross and low scoring. But talking about, you know, Anthony Richardson and how you defend against a guy like that, he had more rushing yards than Jonathan Taylor against the Texans, which, you know, if you're looking at a way to stop the Colts offense, historically, if you stop Jonathan Taylor, you kind of stop that offense. And the Colts came up just short, almost beat the Texans. It was a really good game. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson had some flashes, like we talked about. Really strong arm. I wanted your thoughts. We talked about this a little bit pre-show on the Jeff Hafley defense. It's been one game, very small sample size, hard to tell with the field conditions. But do you have any, you know, general thoughts on his debut? Was it too vanilla to tell? What are you thinking?
I will say, I mean, number one, more Edgerrin Cooper. Like, that's number one. whatever else you do, more Edgerrin Cooper, please. I mean, we had talked about this before. It's tough to tell because they're fairly basic up front, like as far as what they want to do. They want to win with four, is the main thing they want to do. And then they'll throw some blitz occasionally. Usually his stuff was third down blitzes, but he was blitzing all downs, like not a ton, but a handful blitz on all downs. And then, like, the back end, they're kind of mixing up a little bit. Is it basically McKinney? They played, I think Bullard played 100% of the snaps. They were swapping out a little bit. The biggest thing it's tough to tell on is if they don't get pressure with their front four, some of the stuff starts to break down a little bit. They're playing on a muddy field. It was hard to get traction for them. Hurts was really good at getting stuff out before the blitz. But then also, like, they weren't getting – and it's also one of the best tackle tandems in the league. So they were not getting consistent pressure. Like, Gary had some good reps. Van Ness, buddy, I don't know. But they just weren't getting consistent pressure. And if they're not getting consistent pressure, it looks bad. And even then, with all of that, I mean, there were times, I think of like, there was the indicative of the game for me is the big play to A.J. Brown that Jair slips on. That's just, they send, like, it's that zone blitz, right? They drop out Wyatt, they drop out Clark, they bring Nixon from the slot. Nixon's within a hair of just sacking Hurts. Hurts gets it out, I think it was 3rd and 8, if I'm not mistaken. Jair's in a really good position. Brown just spins back to the inside. Jair slides out of frame. Like, feet give out from underneath him. He slides out of frame. It's 30 yards. And, like, to me, that's one of those things. Okay, they were very, very close to, on like a designer blitz, getting home on that. They don't get that. Then they have a chance to stop him, like, at the sticks or just after the sticks. They don't get that because the field kind of gives way. So I do think part of it is, I think the field makes it hard. I think the opponent was particularly bad for this debut. But they also did some things that we thought they were going to do, right? Like, we knew they were going to give up some big plays. They gave up some big plays. We knew they were going to get some turnovers. They were +2 in turnovers. Like, they generated turnovers. The offense couldn't capitalize. So I think there was some issues with Hafley, with the defense overall. But I think a lot of that was more maybe the opponent, who they were playing against, I think gave them some trouble. I think the field gave them trouble. And then they just didn't capitalize on some of it. But it could have been a better debut, I think. But not that I want to see them go up against a lesser offensive line, because in the playoffs, they're going to have to go up against a good offensive line. Like, that's the part of it. But I want to see them go up against, like, the not the best tackle tandem in the league before I say, oh, the pass rush sucks. Because that needs to work to make this whole thing work. And that was a problem this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is certainly the Eagles are a tough draw. They're looked at as one of the, you know, premier NFC teams, and it's hard to find a weakness on that offense. Their line is great, even without Jason Kelce, somehow, you know, still a really prolific offensive line. They added Saquon Barkley, which just seemed like a cheat code this offseason. Jalen Hurts can do it all with his legs. So for as much as we talked about the Packers needing to do a really good job defending the run, the Packers had more rushing yards than the Eagles in Brazil, which I think surprised all of us, you know, because you looked at initially what Saquon is doing, having three touchdowns, yes, receiving as well, but it just, it felt like he was the glaring weakness for this Packers defense. And it really wasn't too bad on paper. You know, I think a lot of those things are very easy to clean up, which was at least promising, was the things that you mentioned, probably not going to happen at Lambeau at, you know, different fields. So hopefully, you know, signs pointing up at least, but a tough debut.
Yeah.
It's just the red zone. Like it was just both sides of the ball in the red zone, but like just the red zone defense for like, I know I agree pass rush Dusty, but I think that I feel like was maybe something I don't want to judge on just like one sample size, but the red zone is what I'm taking away is like in the next few weeks that better look better or I'm going to be worried.
I will say it was also concerning when they had to get a stop to keep the game in check and they gave up like an 8-minute drive to basically ice the game like that. That's not great either. You've got to get a stop there.
Yeah. It just felt a little too familiar. Like, you know, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, it's week one, and they like most of them haven't played a single snap together yet, and none of them have played any snaps in this new defense. So I have a little bit of leeway, but the leash is certainly short, which I think is fair. And this week is like an entirely different looking opponent. I mean, Hurts can run, right? I think they actually did a great job containing him.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 30-something yards on 13 carries. So if they can do that with Anthony Richardson, like that's a great day at the office, in my opinion, because he's way less accurate than Jalen Hurts is. So I think they'll have a much harder time in the pass game against an Anthony Richardson if they can contain him the same way. It's just an if.
Yeah, that pass rush plan was part of that as well. Like you saw, like there's multiple times I was watching Devontae Wyatt. How did he do in the pass rush? There was multiple times he would like, it was clearly a coaching point. The first move didn't work. Stand in place. Don't let Jalen Hurts get outside. And so you'd see like this initial push, the rip doesn't work. And then he's like, just kind of mirroring and he's standing there. Like that was, I think that was, that's another thing with the pass rush. Like I want, how does that look? Because they, and maybe it'll be the same thing this week, right? With Richardson, like, they're not pinning their ears back, which is good. Like even there's plays where like Gary is peeling off and getting contained. I'm like, all right, okay. All right. Rashawn Gary can do that. That's pretty cool. But I am curious. I think like, if I have a concern, it's with a guy, like it's the linebacking core, like Cooper looked great. Edge Cooper looked great. Quay Walker looked bad. He looked slow. Like he looked like he wasn't quite trusting what he was seeing. I think McDuffie was fine, but athletically, like he's not a difference maker. Wilson was okay, but that's one of those with the run game, especially with the quarterback run game. Those guys got to be good, and that's why I want to see more Cooper in this game. I was hoping Walker would take a big step, and maybe that's comfortability. Maybe as he goes on each week, he gets a little better. He looked like he just like every first step was slow for him, and I wanted that aggressiveness. That's what we talk about all offseason, right? Like the aggressiveness of the defense. And Walker just was hesitant all the time. And I was hoping for a little bit more out of him.
Do you think there's something to Quay's game where being the mic is like too much for him? Maybe it needs to go to McKinney. And I'm not sure who figures that out or who tells him. But there's a part of me that's like, maybe he's got too much responsibility and he's got to focus on everything else. And then it's like he's slow to react to his own assignment because he's trying to make sure that everybody else's assignment sure. And of course, that's not, you know, necessarily a trait that you love in your first round pick, but it might take some of the load off if they want him to like play more freely, because it just feels like this every year we're getting the same kind of challenges. And I know that he wasn't the mic originally, that was Campbell, but now that he's got those responsibilities, you know, you're certainly not going to give it to Cooper. But when you've got a guy like McKinney in your secondary, it's like, okay, I think maybe, you know, somebody else who's a little more assignment sure might not be a bad. Yeah.
No, I like that idea. I think that we've seen safeties with the green dots too. So I think that I don't know if that's what's going on, but it might as well check to see if that might be doing something with Quay. Like, why couldn't hurt to give that to McKinney and just see what shakes out of there. I think
that's interesting, Maggie.
It is.
But I mean, also certainly areas to be really excited about. I thought Javon Bullard had a really good game, mm-hmm. you know, slippage, of course, but I think you said, I thought I saw this as well, played 100% of snaps, like very impressive for a rookie. Cooper definitely needs more snaps. I wanted to see Hopper in there quite a bit because that kind of felt like his thing coming out of college was that he was always behind the line of scrimmage and just a really solid run stuffer, which it kind of felt like they were keeping Isaiah McDuffie for. So if you're going to start looking at, you know, containing a guy like Anthony Richardson, maybe put Hopper in there for a little bit. But I'm curious your guys' thoughts too on just the alignment of the secondary in general, right? We saw Eric Stokes get kind of the nod as the second boundary corner. Keyshawn Nixon played a lot of nickel. You mentioned the Keyshawn Nixon blitz at one point, but what do you think? I mean, I don't think Heffley mixed up his secondary personnel as much as I maybe thought that he would. I thought maybe we'd see more Evan Williams, thought we'd see, you know, kind of a rotation, and he seemed to play with kind of his same five for the majority of the night.
Yeah, Valentine, I think at some point
Valentine got some snaps.
Yeah, they switched out with that. What, how many was it, Perry? Do you have that in front of you? Like, I didn't think it was too many, was it?
It was not. It was, I want to say like five plays.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I don't have that in front of me. And Evan Williams had zero. Evan Williams did not play a snap. Yeah. So that is noteworthy, but also at the same time, it's week one and he's a fourth round pick. You know, I just am not putting like too much stock into Evan Williams. The Valentine is interesting, but again, is it week one and Halfley's not mixing it up as much because it's week one and he's like, okay, let's go with this. Let's see. And I'll start rotating in more as the season progresses. That's like where I'm leaning on it.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of times with the secondary too, right? Like, it's like the safeties, I think, are different. Like, cornerbacks, a lot of times you kind of stick with those guys until they are injured. And so, like, that, I don't know. I think if one of them was struggling, I think Stokes' stats, if you look at him, are not bad. But I don't know that he played great. I think I would have tried, okay, how does Valentine look out here? Like, I would have liked to seen a little more of Valentine than we did, for sure. But I think the staticness of it all, and that was true even with, honestly, with how they – react to some motion stuff. They would do motion. no one wants to hear about Preston Smith in coverage, but you also had snaps where McDuffie was on. They instead of following, they widened. And so McDuffie's man-to-man on A.J. Brown. And that didn't kill them at all. But there was some of that with the variability and variety that they have in the back end there, right? With Bullard, with McKinney, with these corners that you can mix and match. If Brown does go across motion, you drop down Bowler to do that. That was the whole thing, right? That's like, you get these guys to do this and you still have these moments where they go in motion. You don't shift anyone with them. And now you've got Isaiah McDuffie on their number one in the slot. Like, that's one of those things you could scheme that stuff up against Barry because you knew what he was going to do. Halfley was not supposed to be that. And so, and based on what I've seen of him in the past, he's not been that. And so it does raise that question again of, how much of this was what Halfley wanted to run and how much of this was the field was weird and it's a weird game and let's just try to do as little motion as possible and keep it as simple as humanly possible because we know they're going to try to cross us up and then that we expand a little as we go on. That's, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping because some of that stuff is almost a little too easy in terms of there's a fix for this. Like, I know you've got a fix for this. Why are you not doing this? So I'm hoping this gets better. That's, why am I still an optimist about the defense? Why are we doing this again?
Because it's only been 1 week.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Barry.
No, go ahead, Meg.
I was just going to say, I don't remember who it was, but an analyst I saw on Twitter earlier this week was, you know, posing the question about, like, when do you start questioning the talent on paper? Because we're always like, oh, on paper, they're a top 10 unit, top 8 unit. And then it's like, okay, well, if Halfley comes out and we like the scheme of the defense and we think that there should be, you know, these significant improvements and then it's the same product, at what point is it like, hey, maybe the guys aren't the upper echelon that we were necessarily thinking them to be. And I'm not saying that after one performance, again, we have to give it some time here, but I do think that's interesting because we're I feel like almost every week we're like, wow, this team's got a really, really good defense. And then it's like, okay, well, the Packers are supposed to be right up in there. So every team can't have a really good defense if the Packers are also supposed to be like a top 10 unit.
Yeah.
No, it's fair. And I think I question that more now than I did before. Some of the guys that are there now, I mean, I think Kenny Clark is good. Rashawn Gary's good. McKinney's good. I think McKinney has another pick if he doesn't slip on that first AJ Brown touchdown. I think he's got that. But then there are, yeah, I mean, there's questions about Jair. There's questions about Stokes, TJ Slayton in this defense. Like, how is that going to go? Like, there are, I think there's more questions, but it is still, I mean, that is what drives it, right? Like, it's still, even all offseason was Devontae Wyatt's going to be a monster. We haven't seen that yet. We just assume that's what he's going to be like. We don't know. We've not actually seen evidence of that in the pros. So I think there is maybe this season, because with the new defense coordinator, I think we're seeing more questions about, are they really that good on paper?
Well, because when you have a defensive scheme that's like meant to be that more aggressive attacking style and allow guys the leeway to go make big plays at the expense of potentially allowing big plays. Mm-hmm. If you don't see those big plays, then that's when you start to question, well, are you capable of making the big play?
Yeah.
So I think it is fair to ask those questions, because before it was like, oh, prevent, and they're playing so soft and blah, blah, blah. So you don't know, because they're not being put in that position. But in this scheme, like, we are overs in this game, right? Like, they're going to get theirs, and we'll see who steps up in those moments to do that and who doesn't.
Yeah.
All right. So we kind of talked about how the Packers can win with Malik Willis. We kind of talked about how the Packers defense can win against this Colts offense. Let's hear some final thoughts, some score predictions. What does this game look like to both of you? Because I genuinely don't really, I have no clue what I'm expecting. If it's a shootout, if it's just going to be sloppy like we saw from the Saints game last year, what are we thinking?
I think it's going to be a weird game, dude. I think it's going to be a real weird game. Because both of these, I mean, with the Colts especially, because we've seen, I mean, some of the talent they have on offense, it's, like you said, Richardson's arm, he was, I don't know, a combined 2 yards away from two huge touchdown passes to Adonai Mitchell as well, that he just missed. Like, no reason. He just missed him. But then he also had the big one to Pierce. He had another big throw to Pierce. He had just a dart for a touchdown to Doolin, I think it was, Dash and Doolin. Like, he's got those plays in him. It's always like, is when he actually hits a player, is it going to be for a big play or is it not going to be for a big play? He's going to make some insane throws. He's going to miss some easy, easy throws. So I think, like, it's just both sides of the ball, I think it's just going to be chaos. I think the Colts probably a little more predictable chaos, in the sense that, like, you know who they know who they are and they know who they want to be. Like, they've got fast dudes that run fast. You've got a quarterback who, like, legitimately doesn't know how to get tackled. So, like, maybe he gets injured on the first play. Like, he just runs and throws his head around. I don't know that I've seen a quarterback do that before, like, to that extent. So I think, I mean, the big plays are always on the table. It's the most explosive offense, most explosive simple offense in the league, if they can hit them. And the Packers, who knows? Like, I think I know what they're going to do. Willis, we don't know. Like, again, when he's had chances in Tennessee, it's been, we're going to lose if you throw the ball more than 8 times. So, which was like the Tebow approach. Willis is a better athlete than that, but, like, that could be what it is. I expect, again, a lot of runs, a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of misdirect up front, a couple bombs. I think that's the same for both teams. It's just who hits those bombs, I think, or who can get consistency in the run game. I think Houston wore down the Colts this past week in the run game. They had, I looked this up. Texans ran, I think, 79 plays on offense, and the Colts ran 45. The Colts ran the fewest plays on offense, and the Texans ran the most. Like, by the end of that game, they were just gassed because they couldn't get out of the field. If you can just pound them, they can't stop you, especially with the interior line. So I think it's going to be run heavy with a couple bombs. I mean, I think this could easily be like 45-40. I'm going to go 17-14 because I think it's a low scoring, run heavy game without a ton of explosives. It's kind of the way I'm going. I also am going to throw out this stat. This is something I wrote about. Malik Willis was 0-for-1 this past week. He is the first Liberty player to throw a pass in Sam Congato in the green and gold. So congratulations, Malik Willis.
Wow. Love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you, Dusty. I think this is going to be really, really strange and really chaotic, and honestly not like our most favorite game to watch. Yeah. As Packers fans. Let's just call it like it is. I think if the Packers want to walk out with a win, it's to capitalize on Anthony Richardson's inconsistencies. That's really it. Like, he's going to hit the big ones, like Dusty said. Like, he has it in him, and they have playmakers on that side of the ball. It's just going to be what it is, but they're going to have to generate some big plays on defense, like we saw against the Eagles. And I think for the Packers, just try to score as many points as humanly possible. Just yeah. take the points. Try to play a clean game, whatever that looks like for Malik Willis. I don't know if he's like a turnover prone guy or not, but like, be as clean with the football as humanly possible, because this is, there's going to be absolutely like zero margin for error in this one. I actually also had 17-14, Dusty. So that's really weird that you threw that out there. I want to be an optimist and say the Packers are going to grab this one, but I don't feel that way. I don't love the idea of them going 0-2 to start the season. It's like not a great place to start, but I don't feel optimistic about them winning a game without Jordan Love, unfortunately.
It's going to be really funny when Jordan Love does start on Sunday after we have a whole show dedicated to Malik Willis.
Matt making that comment threw everyone into a tizzy, and that was just like gamesmanship. We all know Jordan's not playing. He didn't practice today.
Well, and Malik Willis saying like, oh, we're just ready to be ready if he's not out there. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think red zone is going to be a killer for the Packers if they go 1-4 again. Like, you've got to finish drives and put up points. Poor Braden Arvison, you know, needs to be more sure with his
change picks. Your number, buddy. Change your number, buddy.
Maybe that'll do it. We'll say, Perry and I talked about it. Like, how cool is it to see his first couple kicks go dead through the uprights right in the middle, and then to doink his miss, we were like, okay, it's progress. It's not just like 20 yards left. Like, okay, we can work.
Progress
with this.
Is not linear.
But yeah, I mean,
doinks.
I think red zone is gonna matter a ton in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, Perry, clean football, which it seems like, yeah, duh. But Malik Willis seems like he has it in him to, I think any backup quarterback like wants to play hero ball. Yes. You know, and that's just, you think about, especially if the Packers get down early, if it ever gets to be a two-score game and he thinks he's got to like chuck it and, you know, Herculean efforts to drive the ball down the field. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's where things get out of hand. So if the Packers lead the turnover battle, if maybe Keyshawn Nixon breaks one on special teams, I think they'll keep it close. But I also think it's going to be higher scoring than you guys. I was thinking like 28-21. But I just don't think that the Packers...
If it was a high-scoring game, even if they lose, like, that'd be fun. Like, that would at least be a fun game, I think.
Yeah, if it's 19-0, I'm not going to be super pumped to be back there, but...
Just for notes for Malik Willis, anything you saw Will Levis do this past weekend, just don't do anything. Don't do those things. Just keep it...
I just think before we wrap up, like, I think for him, right, trust that your defense can do things for you. Trust that potentially, to your point, Maggie, like... Keyshawn on special teams can get you good field position. Like, you don't have to play hero ball. There are two other phases of this team that are there to help you out, right? So just don't do anything detrimental, and like, you could walk out of this with a win if you don't.
Yeah, and then he's got the opportunity to play revenge ball next week against Tennessee. So if you play really well against the Colts and you ride all that momentum into the team that released you on waivers. So, all right, we gave our score predictions. Dusty, before we wrap this up, please tell all of the people where they can find all of your excellent work, because it is in fact excellent.
Well, thank you. I am over at, you can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. I am all my stuff now as of this season. I've got over on Acme Packing Company. I've been doing that. So I've got a few articles up over there this week. And then I'm also with Paul Bretto over at Colts Wire doing stuff over there. So I did a passing breakdown for them in week 1, and maybe something about how the Packers may look to attack them that may be up this week. It's fun when I can write a Packers thing for another site as well. That makes it very easy for me. So that is where you can find me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what good timing, right? To have you here to talk about the Packers and the Colts. Couldn't be better. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find us on Spotify. Please support the show if you like what we're doing over on YouTube as well. Please like and subscribe to the show. We appreciate that very much. We'll be back after the game to hopefully talk about a win. Otherwise, you know, at least hopefully it was a good game and we all enjoyed it. And I ate a brat in the stands. I don't know, something. But thank you, Dusty, for joining us. And hopefully we'll have you on again here soon. But
absolutely.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Pack, go.